Coming up on TMS, Brian sees a mystery movie.
We have a band.
Country music is stoned.
Ben Franklin is kind of a jerk.
Reed Hastings has simple needs.
Major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Three Guys Plumbing.
For clogs at their worst.
Oh, it's for you.
Liquid Plumber is the plumber to call first.
Hard work pays off, Andy.
The Morning Stream. That's my safety word.
Hello, everybody. Oh, that's wrong. Gosh dang it. What the hell was that? Hold on. That didn't work out. Okay, there we go. Hey, everybody. It's the TMS Morning Stream for April 24th, 2017, 10:07 a.m. in the Mountain Time. Hello, Brian Ibbett.
Hello, Scott Johnson.
We're here doing it. We're making a new week of it. And you guys just have to sit there at home and groove on it.
Yeah, just sit back and relax. Put your feet up. Yeah. Have a glass of whatever your favorite beverage is and just sit and enjoy. That's all we ask.
What's your current favorite beverage right now? Do you have one?
Current favorite beverage?
Yeah.
I'm kind of liking the Not Your Father's root beer.
Oh.
Which is a root beer with a little bit of alcohol in it. It's like a brewed root beer. They have a whole line of these Not Your Father's ... drinks, and there's cream soda. There's what else is there? Something. The other ones aren't as good. The root beer is really, really good. And if you put a little scoop of vanilla ice cream in there, you've got yourself a sweet treat.
Ugh. You know how I feel about root beer floats. They're the worst. I
How
can't
can you
stand
say
them.
That?
Can't stand oh them. Have I not talked about this on the show? I may not have.
I don't know if we have. If we have, I've blacked it out because it feels unfathomable.
And I like root beer. I like root beer. I like ice cream. I do not like them together. They make me.
But it's the perfect combo. Oh. I mean, it's you know, it's not like you might have me if you say Coke float, blah, or grape soda float, right?
Totally
with you on those.
Any of them are bad. All of those are bad. Root beer floats bad.
It was made to be mixed with vanilla ice cream. It's like it was specially grown in a lab where they said, well, we've got all this vanilla ice cream. What can we put with it?
Yeah, I think it's a terrible combo. It's like pineapple and pizza for me. I just can't stand it. And I'll tell you what else. When it gets all foamed up and you get that kind of weird combo carbonation ice cream foam.
I'm with you on that. Like if the foam business kind of irritates the crap out of me because it's like, well, what are you supposed to do with it? Yeah. Do you inhale it?
Yeah. Or do you just run screaming?
It's like dirty foam.
It is. It's like bad. It's like polluted river or something.
It does. It looks like the crap that's on the side of a crummy lake.
Yeah.
A dingy lake.
Yeah. Some dead fish in there or whatever. It's gross. And now here's the other problem. So it's not that I don't like the taste. The taste is fine. It's the minute I get a gulp full of this stuff, I feel sick. Every time, and it's been since I was a kid. I was like 3 years old, going yuck, this is gross. I don't know what it is. It just kind of creates this weird like, that's gross. I don't want that again, and I just can't stand it. So no root beer floats for me.
Let's make a prediction. Can how quickly can you put up a straw poll? I'm gonna say
I can do it right now
that 70 to 30%, 70% of people approve of root beer floats.
Okay.
30% of people are with you. I'm going to say it's actually a higher number. It's like we're playing card sharks, or something here. Well, Bob, I'm going to say that 30% of the people don't like root beer floats.
All right. It's already done. I'm going to put it in the.
And you're not putting it like, who likes those disgusting root beer floats?
No. I realize that would skew us in a weird direction. So I'm going to put it both there and on Twitter. I'm going to do that right now. Hold on here. Let's see. Okay, here we go. Important poll. No bias. I just put it out there.
You can
see it as well. Everyone make your vote. Let's see how the rest of the show goes, and we'll check our results at the end. I'm going to hit no for mine.
You did kind of. So what's with the 1 exclamation point for yes and 3 exclamation points for no? That seems a little skewy.
That may have been a slight. That may have been just a little faux pas on my part.
It's totally fine.
We got 37 votes so far, and we're at the winner so far with a clear win, almost double the score, is yes. So we'll see at the end of the show, though. There's got to be some people out there that are with me on this. There's just something wrong about that combo. I don't like it.
I just refreshed, and it's 69.77% say yes with 43 total votes.
Even worse, 62
like,
votes
so
now.
So close to 70%.
You're at 77 now if you refresh again.
Oh, really? So it's even gone.
Yeah, that pie is now a Pac-Man eating my no. Is what's happening. And I fully admit that people should not assume from this poll that I think it's somehow going to sway in my favor. I'm sure I'm in the minority, but we got to stand together, people.
Do you get Schwanz where you're at?
Nope. What's
I know
that?
That sounds like I'm asking if you get German penises, but Schwanz, not Schwanz. Do you get Schwanz where you're at?
All right. So let me clarify. I don't get Schwanz, but I do get German penises. So I can get both, just one of those.
Yeah. Do you know what Schwanz is?
I've heard of it. It's like a foodie, drinky, foodie thing.
It is, yeah. They'll come every other week to your house with a freezer truck, and you can get things from the freezer truck that I wouldn't even say that it's a really good deal. It's just you get some stuff that, you know, you can't really pick up in the grocery store.
Okay.
They have a root beer float popsicle. And it's basically like an Eskimo pie. But so what you've got on the outside is root beer popsicle material.
Yeah. Yeah, material. I'm with you so far on the material.
Like, so in other words, if you were to get a regular pop ice, whatever the I'm trying to think of the
I know what you mean, like a creamsicle. Like that?
Right, exactly. But it's root beer.
Right.
And then the inside is vanilla ice cream, like a
That's just like a creamsicle then. So you've got the outer orange layer.
Oh, yeah, right. Yes.
And then inside you got the cream or the ice cream or whatever, yeah.
Now, what's your stand on creamsicles?
I like creamsicles. Those are good.
Okay.
And I also like anything that's creamsicle flavored. Like if you make me a shake that's creamsicle flavored, I like that a lot. And that is basically, I guess that's like an orange drink.
It's an orange soda float. So if we were to take an orange soda.
Yeah.
And throw a vanilla ice cream scoop in there. Would you be conflicted?
I would only be conflicted with the foam part. I'd take that out and I'd be fine otherwise. I'd be all right.
Okay.
There's something about, I don't know what it is. It's something about root beer and vanilla. Maybe you could change up the ice cream flavor and it would change how I felt, maybe. I mean, that seems weird though, doesn't it? You don't want to put like chocolate ice cream in your root beer float.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll check in occasionally. I'm very curious how this poll is going to go. Currently,
so
we do
far,
it.
Oh, go ahead.
76.19%, 121 or 112 votes for yes, only a paltry 35, including mine, for no. Mm-hmm. 147 votes total. We'll see how it ends at the end of the show.
Wow, so it's even more in favor of root beer floats than I even.
Yeah,
predicted.
I'm gonna be a tiny little minority. I'm sure of it. But you
well, can, no, I mean 30%.
Yeah.
Or 25% now. That's significant. One out of four people don't like root beer floats is what we're finding out.
Yeah, and that seems reasonable, right? Mm-hmm. That's probably true of anything. Say hot dogs and they would have gotten about the same deal. Right? Whatever you put up there.
I think we need to be more clear on the hot dogs because you've got your brats. Mm. You've got your Italian sausages.
Yeah.
Apparently you've got your Schwanz.
All right. You know, one of these days I'll do a poll for your everyday
Farmer hot dog in a bun.
But like, I'm even shittier than that. Like, let's just go to the gas station and get one of those rotating dogs that have been on there. I like one of those once in a while.
I think you might have the 70-30 flip on that one. Gas station hot dogs, yes or no?
I kind of like those are whatever reason that and a little mustard is something I need once in a while. Don't know why. A little sodium or something, whatever it is. Little dead parts from other parts of the pig I'm not supposed to eat. Whatever it is, I crave it. Brian, last night I got a text from you and you said, dude, you guys got to see such and such because it's amazing. And I said, what the hell is even that? And then you explained it briefly. And now I'm really curious about it because you saw a movie I've never even heard of.
Oh, dude. All right. So Tina and I decided on Saturday night we were in the mood for a movie. So we went out to the old Outback restaurant, the steakhouse, uh-huh. had a little prime rib.
Yeah, do you have do you get a bloomin' onion?
Oh, no. Are you kidding? That thing is like, I want to say that is the worst thing you can get at any restaurant as far as your health is concerned.
Yeah, intestinal distress is what I like to call that.
I think you're eating more fat than food. Mm-hmm. You get one of those.
Yeah, it's you should call it deep fried ball with a little onion flavor in it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Onion flavored deep fried ball.
doesn't quite roll off the tongue the way the other stuff does here at the Outback Steakhouse.
But yeah. We decided to go see a movie, and she hasn't seen Logan. We were thinking, all right, well, Logan is, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing that again. I kind of dozed off through a little bit of it when we saw it in Seattle before Geek Bowl.
Right.
So I wouldn't mind seeing it again and picking up what I missed. But we decided, no, we'll wait till that comes out on video. Let's go see something brand new. And we decided to see a movie called Colossal,
okay,
which completely under the radar. Obviously, this thing wasn't in our summer movie draft. I don't think I've seen a single preview for it, but I remember hearing something about it at one point and hearing like a little synopsis and thinking, all right, that sounds really interesting. Maybe I'll have to check it out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's the Anne Hathaway, Jason Sudeikis thing.
That's exactly what it is. Anne Hathaway, Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah.
It is, I've got to say, it is excellent. It is, I think this thing is going to do really, really well with word of mouth. And it's such a bizarre premise.
Mm.
My description to you, and I think it's dead on, is that it's being John Malkovich mixed with Cloverfield.
Oh, interesting. Well, who's the person that's named the actor who's also, like, how is it like John Malkovich? Is it just because it's from someone's perspective?
It's got a very quirky premise,
mm-hmm,
that is never really explained or, I don't want to say, because I don't want people to feel like, oh man, so they never really explain what's going on in this film.
Mm.
It's one of those things. You remember how in Being John Malkovich, there was this tunnel into John Malkovich's head from the 13th floor of this building.
Right.
And it was never really said like, okay, well, here's what caused that wormhole. And here's, you know, they made this floor shorter than the others and blah, blah, blah. You were just kind of basically Charlie Kaufman was saying, don't worry about that.
Yeah,
just enjoy it. Just sit back and enjoy.
They never gave you any background lore or canon for how it worked. You're right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I went into this actually knowing the premise. The premise is described in the Fandango description, so when you buy your tickets. But basically, it's Anne Hathaway is this party girl, New York City party girl, who's kind of, I don't know, bordering alcoholic, self-destructive personality. And she gets kicked out of her house by the guy from Legion.
Legion himself. Yeah.
Legion himself.
Yeah. Mr. Downton Abbey before that.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. Dan Stevens. He's cool.
And so she moves back home and she, you know, kind of falls back into a friendship with Jason Sudeikis, who is a childhood friend that she knew growing up.
Who, by the way, I just want to say this real quick. Dan Stevens, who's British. Yeah. Is he play British in this or American?
He does play British in this. So okay. You hear him, you see him right after the ending of Legion, back with his British accent. It's a little bit
I love how they did that.
A little bit disconcerting at
first. Yeah, true. But Dan Stevens and Jason Sudeikis, I've always felt like they look like brothers from other mothers.
Kind of. Yeah.
They weird me out together. But anyway, so continue on.
So she moves back home and rekindles this friendship and blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, on the other side of the world, in South Korea, in Seoul, there is a giant kaiju running around smashing the city.
All right. Oh, my gosh. I'm so in now.
And these two things are related.
Her relationships and that are related.
Anne Hathaway and her life is related to this kaiju.
Oh, my Lord. This is amazing.
And that's basically what you get from the Fandango description. I'm not going to go any further. But I will say this, that Jason Sudeikis, for a guy who started out on Saturday Night Live and is like, all right, yeah, he's a Saturday Night Live guy.
Mm-hmm.
He is so far beyond Saturday Night Live. The dude, I say in the next 10 years, we're going to see an Oscar for Jason Sudeikis for a performance.
Good Lord.
It may not be for this one.
Yeah.
And probably won't be for this one, but he is fantastic. And he makes, acting look completely effortless.
Wow, that's really good. He's like his buddy, what's his name in Nebraska. They're just like blowing people's minds with their acting ability.
Oh yeah, Forte. Will Forte.
Yeah,
yes.
they're classmates of SNL, I guess.
They are. Yeah. Yeah.
So think this thing is going to get recognized at the end of the year for something?
I don't know if it will or not. I think it's, I think it should, because I think it's a very interesting premise and a very interesting study on personalities and self-destructive behavior and decision making gone bad, things like that. I don't see it like getting an Oscar. It may get an Oscar for visual effects.
Yeah, really.
As well, it should. But it is. Basically, I'm saying go out and see this thing. I know that there's a bunch of summer movies coming,
mm-hmm.
but come on, Guardians of the Galaxy doesn't come out for another 2 weeks, yeah. and no one's going to see The Circle.
Yeah. No, please go see The Circle because it's on our list.
We don't have The Circle.
I thought we own The Circle. I think we have The Circle, the Tom Hanks deal, right?
But Christy Kate's got The Circle. Don't they have Circle and Life? And it was kind of funny that
The Circle of Life. You may be right now. Okay, then don't go see it.
Cord Killers has The Circle, and really honestly, nobody's going to see it. As a matter of fact, why don't you just stay at the theaters until May 12th and then go see the double bill of King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, and Snatched?
Yeah. Yeah. Those are the two movies you want to save your money for.
Right.
Real quick, I saw We're the Millers, and I liked Sudeikis in that.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
But that was more like SNL comedy kind of comedy.
Exactly, comedy. And that's what, you know, that's what you kind of think, okay, Jason Sudeikis is going to fall into this role where he is always playing the Judd Apatow mm-hmm. kind of character role. We even saw, what did we watch this weekend? We watched something that just came out, Masterminds.
Mm. Oh,
which
yeah.
Which is... Zach Galifianakis and Kristen Wiig and Jason Sudeikis and
the whole crew there.
Whole crew. And it was all right. It was entertaining.
Yeah. Not great, but okay.
Not great. Not great, but also not bad.
All right.
But anyway,
I'll say this.
Colossal. Go see it.
That movie has Tim Blake Nelson in it. What's he doing there?
Yes. Oh, he's great too. He plays somebody else from her hometown.
Does he ever utter the words, "We thought you was a toad"? No.
Them sirens loved him and turned him into a toad.
Them sirens. Now that's a good boy. All right. Well, then good. I'll see it. It sounds like it's up my alley. Do you think that Anne Hathaway got one extra or two extra trailers for her eyes? Because I know those need their own trailers.
Well, so. I think that they looked at this and said, oh, okay, it's a giant kaiju, you know, almost an anime creature attacking Seoul.
Mm.
Who do we know? What actress do we know that has, like, anime features? Oh, I know.
Anne Hathaway. There you go. Perfect.
And, nailed by it. The way, her name is short for Anime Hathaway.
Oh, my Lord. It's all coming together.
But all anyway, right. Go see it. It's really, really good. And trust me on this.
Okay. I believe you. I do. Yeah. I've got some good news.
Tell us the good news, Scott.
I'm going to make an announcement right now. This will be the first place I say it. Of course, I'll smear it all over Twitter and everywhere else. You know, one of the things we always look forward to with Nerdtacular planning is announcing who the band is going to be.
Yes.
And we've kept this one pretty close to the bone because we haven't confirmed it, but now it's confirmed. And I'm happy to report that we're bringing back an old favorite, someone people ask for every year we do a Nerdtacular. Where are these guys? Oh, you hear me say guys.
Including those guys.
Including those guys. They're always saying, hey, what's up? And we're always like, well, we want to give lots of turns, but you know what? They're perfect for the 10th anniversary.
Yeah, they are. They absolutely are.
We are bringing back... That's their theme today.
That's great.
Paul Perfect. And Storm, everybody. Paul and Storm. Both Woo! Of them will be at Nerdtacular 2017 this end of June, coming up very soon. I'll put some stuff on the website today so you'll be able to see their pretty faces and learn more about them if they are not new to, or if they are new to you. But for most of you, you're like, oh my gosh, that's going to be great. So Paul and Storm there. If you have tickets, you're the best off. If you're at home, we'll do a live stream of it. But one way or the other, Paul and Storm.
That's right. Two of them together again.
Together at last.
Together at last.
Yeah. It's like, think of it as Garfunkel and Simon getting back together, but as if they never left.
That's the most common way to say their names, by the way.
Yeah. Garfunkel and Simon. Yeah, it rolls right off the tongue. It's like you've heard it 1,000 times before. Anyway, very excited about that. Here's a better theme. That's not very good either. Anyway, they're coming. It'll be here. It'll happen. And check out nerdtacular.com for details a little later today. That's not up there right now, but you can go there now and see what else is up there if you'd like. And just redesigned a bunch of that, put some photos up, and definitely worth your time. Brian, you were walking Miss Daisy. What's this about?
So there's this park that I like driving to lately and taking the dog for a walk because it's a really, really nice creek path. It's in Golden, Colorado, right on the western edge of Golden, right up on the base of the foothills. And there's this creek that goes through it. And yeah, I'll be honest, there are Pokestops lining this entire walkway.
I knew it. I was just going to say, how many Pokestops are on this thing? And you beat me to it. That's amazing.
And this is like haven for Pokemon Go players.
Yeah.
Every time I'm out there, there are bands of these, you know, holdouts, these people still playing the damn game.
Yeah.
And this is the place also that has the parking lot that if you park in three or four different locations in the center of it, you're in a place where you're overlapping four Pokestops. So if you want, you can just sit in your car and keep on spinning every 5 minutes. But I'm taking the dog for a walk because, you know, it's fresh air. It's beautiful. It's springtime in Colorado. It's 72 degrees. Gorgeous. The dog's getting out and having a great time. And honestly, with the, you know, with the little Pokemon Go watch dealy, I can just kind of do it. I can just kind of do it on the fly, right?
Sure.
Without sitting there facing my phone, blah, blah, blah.
You just tap your little unit and you're good.
Exactly. Like it buzzes, mm-hmm. boom, catch it. Maybe don't catch it. I don't care.
Yeah.
Spin up a Pokestop.
Sure.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Well, took her out Saturday.
Hold on. I got a quick question about that. If you are in a Pokestop range, I understand how that thing works if there's a Pokemon somewhere. But if you're in the Pokestop range, you can just tap it and that spins the thing, gives you all the stuff?
Yeah, basically it comes up with different colors. So you've got a little light here in the center of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right there.
Yeah.
And I have a little wood panel face on it just because it looks less dorky than the bright red and white. I'll be the first to admit I love playing this game, but I hate looking like I'm wearing the Fisher Price Google Watch or something.
Wait, did
like
you
that.
Buy? Is that a thing you can buy, the little cover?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like a little wood face on it. And I'm using a little Fitbit strap instead of the goofy cloth strap that it comes with. You can get a bag of these on Amazon for like $4 prime shipped.
I love
all different
that.
Colors.
I love that you're incognitoing the little obnoxious thing that.
Oh,
that's amazing. All right, I didn't know about all this. That's awesome.
So
anyway.
So I'll embrace the game, but I'm not gonna sit there and look like a Ash, whatever his last name is. Wednesday and walking around there collecting Pokemon.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I took Daisy out there, and she's the she's our sweet little German Shepherd Shar-Pei mix. So she's got like a tongue that looks like a blueberry pancake.
Ooh.
Like all splattered with little blue splotches all over it.
Sounds really good.
And
not dog tongue, but
there's your text back to Daryl, by the way.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So we're walking down the path, and Daisy is really good, maybe even too good or too bad, about letting me know she has to go to the bathroom. She goes over to the side, and she just kind of, you know, pulls me over to the side saying, hey, gotta pee.
Mm.
But she also does this whenever she smells something.
Mm.
And she goes over there, and she's doing this thing now where she lowers her center of gravity, like hunches down on her legs to, like, really fight me on pulling her back along,
because
I know that she doesn't have to pee, because she just peed, and then she's just going over there because another dog peed right there and she wants to smell it.
Yeah.
But she'll like walk over there and then like bear it, you know, hunker down so that it's a little bit harder for me to pull her along to keep her going.
Well, and she probably is assuming the position she thinks you don't yank her from, which is her pee position. Or
she would do that, right?
Yeah.
Like, all right, if I see her doing the pee position, by the way, she's the most awkward dog when it comes to that. You know, female dogs usually squat, and then male dogs usually lift their hind leg, right?
Yeah.
I swear to God, she does both. She squats and then lifts her right hind leg so that she's basically on two legs with the third leg up, but squatting down.
Look, sometimes people and dogs go both ways. It's fine.
Exactly. She's like, I don't know. I see some dogs doing this. I'll do that. Sure, whatever.
That's really funny to me.
So this is one of those times she goes over to the side, pulls, you know, goes and actually goes to the bathroom. Great. All right, good. Now we can just kind of continue walking.
Yeah.
So we're walking along, and we're coming to this part where there's this nice little park bench with a couple people sitting there having a chat. And she starts pulling along in the middle of the path, and I'm like, nope, I know you're messing with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then she kind of does it again, maybe a half a second later, like we've only walked two or three steps. I'm like, okay, what's up? Do you need to turn around? And she's in the middle of the path, assuming the, hey, I'm pooping now position.
Oh, great.
Which is the hunched back mm-hmm. dog pooping position.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, okay. And so I look at the people, the couple now that's sitting on the bench talking is now looking at us. And I'm like, excuse us. I don't know what you say. I mean, it's not like, you know, like I just farted in front of them. Not like I can say, Daisy, let's not poop right in front of these people.
They're looking they're looking right down the barrel. Are they, is she facing her butthole to these people or is it?
No, she's basically right in the path, in the middle of the path, facing the direction that we've been walking. So it's just like a doing it now.
Right. It's time.
And so I've got the little bag thing on her leash, and I'm pulling out one of the bags from the little roller.
Yeah, I have those too.
And I notice, oh, she actually, I guess, pre-pooped about a foot back, so I'm going to have to pick that one up too. And at that point, the lady sitting on the bench goes, oh, and she's looking down the path. And I look down the path, and it's almost like she was a Tootsie Roll dispenser for like the last 10 yards. It's like a little trail of like she's adding a dotted line to the road that we just walked.
Yeah, she's trying to leave a path so she knows which way to go back. I understand.
So I'm like, oh my God. All right. So she finishes her main business, and then I like hitch her leash to the fence directly to the right of us, and I walk down there, and it's basically like, take a step, pick up a poop. Take a step, pick up a poop.
Wow.
Like,
how far back did this go?
10 yards, easily 10 yards, like 30 feet behind us. Like she apparently has been trailing this for a while, and only about 3/4 of the way through it did she decide to say, oh, hey, let me pull on the leash and let him know I'm doing something.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's like the dog in the airport that day, except I wish they were Tootsie Rolls. That's amazing.
So went back there and then... you know, and when you're picking those up with a bag, first 3 or 4, piece of cake, right? Mm-hmm. Then as you start to get a few, like, in your hand, some of the top ones start to roll out the side, like, oh, I'm picking up that one, but this other one just dropped out.
Yep. And if you're not careful and you don't play your gravity right, you're going to get one down the sleeve or something. You got to be careful.
Oh, no, that never happens because my hand is wrapped in this plastic bag. There's no potential for skin touching on this stuff.
It's wrapped in plastic, as you
said. Wrapped in plastic. Yeah. So that was fun. Wrapped picked it all up plastic. And
you got it all, and those people were probably thrilled.
Kind of
they're
smiled
like,
at the people on the park bench, kind of embarrassingly said, "Come on, Daisy, let's go." Yeah. Took her the rest of the way around.
That's amazing. It's funny you had that happen because this morning I had a dog experience that I will share, but not until tomorrow. I'm going to save it, but I had in my pocket here one of these bags. See?
Oh yeah,
extra bag. They started putting these in the dispensers around the area, and they're actually so much better than the last ones that I almost took a whole stack, like some kind of jerk.
You know, usually those things can be great, but then you get the people who like go to the grocery store and get handfuls of those big grocery bags.
Yep.
And they shove them all in there. It's like, okay, that's really nice of you. It's very generous. But nobody needs that much bag for poop.
No.
At least I hope not, unless you're picking up all the poop.
Plus, it doesn't
work. All the dogs.
Plus, they don't work very well. Those things leak. They have holes in them.
Yes, frequently have holes in
them. It's like, no thanks, dude. Yep. My hands need to be not in the poo. They need to be a layer of plastic between my hand and the poo at all times.
Exactly.
It's the only way I roll. So tomorrow I'll tell you guys a story about a lady who accused me of something this morning when I was walking my dog, and I'll tell you about it then. Perfect. Hey, I got a follow-up from Brody. He sent us an email about the cat house brothel stuff. And
Brody!
Just outside of Vegas, we were talking about that stuff. Says this, just listening to yesterday's episode, this is a couple days ago, just wanted to give you info on the cat house brothels. The main one is in Carson City, but there is about one an hour west of Vegas on US 95. It is connected to the Area 51 trucks, too. It is owned by the same guy. Next time you're in Vegas, I suggest going there. Not the brothel, but the truck stop. The burger joint they have there is pretty good and all 50s style. They have a lot of alien and cat house souvenirs. I had my fiance, who was my girlfriend at the time, on the truck with me, and we stayed there. We stayed the night there. I can now say I slept at a brothel with my fiance. He says it's an interesting place. Thanks for the amazing podcast. Keeps me from getting bored on the road. Love the shows you both do, Brody. All right, Brody.
Oh, I'm totally going there next time. So I found this place on roadsideamerica.com.
Yeah.
And it's the Amargosa. It's in Amargosa Valley, Nevada. It's the Alien. I'm sorry. It's the Area 51 Alien Travel Center and Brothel.
Oh, my. Really?
Yes.
Oh, that sounds better than any of this.
Yeah, it's he does not do it justice. I'm going to put a little link in the chat room here.
Okay. All right.
Chat. So, desert truck stop with an extraterrestrial makeover, alien cat house, Outback is America's only themed brothel, free tours, and yes, it does have an alien probe room.
Wow. Really?
Yes.
I feel like if I went anywhere near this, I'm going to have diseases. Right?
Oh, no.
Really?
Just don't touch things. I want to, I swear to God, I think I want to see this. Next time I'm out in Vegas, I think we make a little detour out there.
All right, that might be worth at least seeing. This airplane wreck at brothel sign. So there's an airplane in out there. There's another nearby offbeat place called Big Bovine in the desert. I've heard of this big cow, but never seen it.
Yeah, so those are 16. That's 16 miles from this place, and the airplane wreck is 27 miles. But the world's largest firecracker is less than a mile away, so we could visit that too.
Oh my gosh, look at this thing. A giant M800, but it's not really a firecracker, right? It's just a big.
I can't imagine for safety reasons that it would be. So because you'd get some guy, hold my beer, I'm gonna shoot a fire arrow up at that thing.
So that's a cylindrical building with a giant fake
fuse.
It's a
silo that's been painted to look like a firecracker.
I don't know if I care about that one.
I know it's a kind of a tough shed, basically.
Yeah, pretty weird. By the way, quick poll check. We are at yes, 76.45% for do you like root beer floats? And no! Only has 23.55. So my guess of 20% overall is we're getting there. We're getting close.
We're right in between our two guesses, really.
One final email from somebody named James Rose, who sent this in and says, you all don't talk about Homeland often or ever. Is that a show you watch? You were talking about Alex Jones this week with Jury and was wondering if you all had seen the Brett O'Keefe character from the latest season of Homeland. The producers of that show were really taking shots at him through the character and the plot of the season. You should play some clips on TMS, Absolute Gold. I've yet to see a single episode of Homeland, despite the fact that I think I'd like to. I've always heard it's cool.
Yeah, I hear it's really good.
Didn't they have it?
Every time I do a search for it to see where it's streaming, I give up because I can't type that backwards E.
Well, there's their problem.
I don't have a backwards E character on my keyboard, and so I say, well, darn, I guess I'll have to go watch something else.
You guys have to understand, Brian is a real stickler when it comes to his accuracy.
I am exact and precise.
Yeah, every time. Anyway.
In all things.
I'll watch it. I guess, need to get around to it. They're, what, 5-6 seasons in or something?
I think so. It's been around for a while. Yeah, but it's a Showtime series, so it's not like it's 26 episodes.
Mm. I would have thought
7 seasons, it looked like.
7 seasons of like 10 each or something. And it seems like something you would have been all over in the first place because it's got that naked companion from Firefly in it. You like her?
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's got, what's her face? Marina Baccarin.
Yeah, she decides to go clothless.
I imagine, you know, if I wouldn't have to just watch 70 episodes of a TV show to find that. I imagine that's somewhere out on the internet.
Probably. I wouldn't.
Okay, it looks like actually season 6 is the current one, but they've announced a season 7, I guess.
All right. And it's still got your My So-Called Life lady in it.
Claire Danes.
Claire Danes. I like her a lot. And people I like. I just need
Mandy
to see
Mandy Patinkin.
Oh, yeah, Mandy Patinkin's in it. I hear he's a pain in the ass to work with. Every show that he's ever been on, like Chicago Hope, and then later the Better Off Dead. What was it when they're dead people and they were doing
Dead Like Me.
Dead Like Me. Every one of those shows always had some post-mortem where some producer or some writer would go, yeah, he was the worst. We couldn't stand working with him. He was always late. He hated everyone. He complained all the time. He sounds like the serious actor version of Chevy Chase or something.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I don't know if that's true. I just keep hearing that, and I kind of hope it's not because I like him a lot. I think he's super interesting. I'll tell you what else is interesting right here on the podcast.
Tell me.
The news. Whoops. Sorry. The news. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Quick announcement because there are people probably wondering, wait a minute. It's Monday. What about Daryl? Daryl has new work commitments that will keep him from the show on Mondays. So we are moving Daryl to Tuesdays and Thursdays. Mm-hmm. Makes it so much easier. All you have to do is remember Daryl's trivia is on days that begin with the letter T.
Nice. Well done. No longer the letter M and W. So
it's so much harder to keep track of M and W, Daryl.
I agree.
TNT Daryl.
Tuesday, Thursday from now on. If something changes with his meetings, we'll move it back. We don't care. It's easy. But right now,
GD makes a great point. Great. The two shows that are already the longest, now we're adding Daryl.
They used to always have Daryl anyway. Those go long no matter what.
Yeah, that's true. Exactly.
It'll be fine. So that's all coming up tomorrow on TMS. Today's news is brought to you by...
Hey, have you been to myturfandgarden.com yet?
No.
What? You haven't? Why not? We have loads of traditional fertilizers, organic solutions, soil boosters, and so much more. Plus, we have over 80 years of combined experience to share with you over email, live chat, or on the phone. Small business customer service means you're more than a sale, and the success of your lawn or garden means as much to us as it does to you. Come say hi at myturfandgarden.com.
Perfect time of year. Spring. Spring,
totally.
Spring has sprung. It's a little cold here, though. A little windy and overcast. I don't know what's going on. F this weather. All right, Brian, if I was to ask you honestly, if you could pick the genre of music that in their music, lyrics, and so on, and depictions, shows the most drug use and references in any genre, what genre would you say did it?
I would say hip-hop.
I would have, too.
Have the most,
I would have said rap.
70s. 70s album rock.
Yeah, 70s freedom album rock. Freedom rock. I would have said that. I would have said hip hop. I would have said maybe.
Oh, reggae is a good.
Reggae, sure. Like constant pot references, right? Well, it turns out we have all been wrong this entire time. Country music has the most drug references of any genre, according to a new study.
That blows my mind.
Yep. A mother or father traveling through American life with their children. Why isn't that working? There we go. Planted in the backseat of their car will oftentimes change the tunes on the radio from rap to hip-hop to so-called safer genres like jazz or country music. Many parents figure exposing their offspring to certain types of music will also introduce them to controversial topics, including the appropriation or coolness of drug use. Turns out they were wrong. A new study published Friday on addiction.com. Addiction.com. That's where people come in and just say one word.
I can't stop getting this magazine.
That's right. And
I can't stop visiting this website.
I cannot stop logging in. provided exclusive to Newsweek, I guess who did this, reveals country music has the most drug references of any musical genre. Then followed by jazz at number two. I wouldn't have said that either.
No, but I guess jazz is all about the reefer.
It is about the reefer. They like the reefer. Then pop, whatever that genre is.
Well, pop music. Come on.
Yeah, but is it? How is that a genre?
It's like Ariana Grande and Katy Perry and...
Sure.
That's a genre, sure.
Is it though? Because I've seen songs that you would call alternative or rap or hip-hop enter the pop 20, top 10 charts.
Well, those are called crossovers.
Oh, well, F those too then. electronic is next. Rock...
electronic? That's the one that blows my mind in this whole list. Like, all right, jazz... Okay, I guess so. Pop, well, sure. But electronic, it's like oomph, 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 heroin. Oomph, 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 oomph.
Methamphetamine.
Right.
So then rock, then other, then folk. I don't know what other is. Folk, and then rap. Rap's the last one. That mentions drugs the least.
I guess it's more alcohol. Because
I guess
sipping on gin and juice. You'll find me in the club. I got
my 40 in my hand and my gin.
Bacardi, because it's your birthday. Gonna drink Bacardi.
Yeah, yeah, totally. But then I've heard a lot of Snoop and Ice Cube music this week, and those guys talked a lot about pot, a lot. So I don't know how this works. I'm sketchy on whether I believe this study. If it had said second place for rap, I would have said, oh, okay. But last place? Come on.
Right, right. I'm curious as to, is it just music from the last year? Is it...
good point. Rap didn't exist as long as country.
Yeah, I'm curious. I mean, I'm just looking to see what it's based on.
I still don't see how EDM is the... The leader.
No, I know.
Makes no sense to me.
Weed, the most popular drug mentioned, it looks like, then followed by cocaine, acid pills, meth, heroin, and ecstasy.
Mm-hmm.
Nicotine, Valium, Vicodin, marijuana, ecstasy, and alcohol.
Wow.
That's the Queens of the Stone Age song.
Oh, all right.
That's basically the lyrics over and over and over again.
Really enjoyed your rendition of it.
That's anyway. dead on cover right there.
Well, I'll tell you what else is in the news. And by the way, a bunch of people sent us this after I had found it, so I guess we were all on the same wavelength. Frozen hash browns have been recalled due to possible extraneous golf ball materials. Bleh, what are we doing here with this? This is disgusting. CNN is reporting this. You have an early morning golf match, you make coffee, and contemplate the optimal breakfast to help you hit the ball straighter and calm the first tee jitters. For now, skip frozen hash browns sold in 9 states under the Harris Teeter and Roundy brands. Never heard of Harris Teeter.
The name sounds familiar. That's a grocery chain, isn't it?
Isn't
Harris
it?
Teeter, like a
might be
Southern.
Might be. Roundy I've heard of. I have not heard of Harris Teeter. Where you going?
Harris Teeter.
I'm on down to the Harris Teeter and going to pick up some hash browns.
Exactly.
Anyway, the potatoes may contain pieces of golf balls, according to the hash brown maker. McCain Foods, USA's recall notice on the U.S. Food and Drug Administration site says the hash browns could be contaminated with extraneous golf ball materials and may have been inadvertently harvested with potatoes used to make the product. So they make... But golf balls with potatoes?
Come down to the Old West Driving Range and Potato Farm, everybody.
Yeah, this is why you don't eat the chicken salad sandwich at a strip club. Same reason. You don't need to be mixing your right, your naked exactly. people with your other business.
Right. Or drinks at the Rum Jungle Bar with the trapeze people.
Exactly. Because they're swinging right above you and they're dropping their stuff. Is what I'm saying. Consumption of these products may pose a choking hazard or a physical injury in the mouth, says the notice on the voluntary recall. There have been no reports of injuries, according to the company. So they're voluntarily trying to get out ahead of this. I say good luck to them.
Wow.
I don't want any hash browns right now at all because they might have golf ball parts in them.
Jeez.
What else we got here? Oh, Benjamin Franklin. This is some hot news about Benjamin Franklin.
Sure, great. Discovered electricity, mm-hmm. flew a kite, and and appears on the $100 bill.
Yeah, a founding father, an ambassador to France.
That's right.
He's on the $100 there. He's also got he was a bit of a philanderer. People said he got all up to some weird business and hot tubs and whatnot back in the day. Well, he got 4 years for throwing human waste at a corrections officer. Oh, it's not the same Benjamin Franklin, you say.
Oh, gotcha.
I've led them on. An all-red prison inmate, wherever that is, gets 4 years added to his 50-year sentence, so that's 54 years in prison, for murder after he agrees to a plea for throwing his feces on a corrections officer. 39-year-old Benjamin Franklin is in prison for a murder in Midland in 2008. Prison officials say in March of last year, he threw feces on the female officer at Allred and was charged with harassment of a public servant. Franklin also received a $4,000 fine. Benjamin Franklin, $100 bill.
I do throw poo at you, sir.
How many Benjamins does it take to throw poo at you?
Yeah, that's right.
I do throw poo at you.
Kind of gloss over the fact that he's in prison for murder. So, like, Benjamin Franklin threw poo, but he also killed somebody.
Yeah, he killed somebody. Don't forget that that's maybe the worser of the two things he did. Worser. Hey, I saw something funny, a video of do you see this video of the family visiting the zoo? I don't know the details, but some monkey, like a chimpanzee, threw poop at the grandma. Yeah.
Yes.
Smacked her right in the face.
Like find poo that. Stuck on the front of grandma's face.
I bet, is that out there? That's got to be out there.
Oh, it's totally out there, yeah.
Grandma poo face. Here we go. It got grandma. Chimp. We're going to put this up. There's a little dirty little chimpanzee.
There, yeah.
By the way, we are, as a society, failing one another because we continue to make videos that are vertical and not horizontal.
Yes, point that right.
out. I hate it. I freaking hate it. Anyway, let's continue with this video. Oh, there she goes. Right in grandma's face. Oh my gosh, dude.
And it just sticks to her face like. Oh. It's a while before they notice it, too. Like, they're chuckling like, oh.
It got grandma, they say. Oh, that poor woman. Monkeys are terrible creatures. Just stay away from them. And apes, too. I know that's an ape. I'm just saying. Monkeys and apes. Final story. Reed Hastings in the news. You know Reed Hastings, the founder and proprietor of Netflix over there.
Sure.
Big rich dude.
See him sticking DVDs into envelopes so that everybody can get their copy of My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2.
Yep. Works overtime doing that, that guy. Reed Hastings celebrated 100 million Netflix subscribers by eating a steak alone at Denny's.
Wow.
I kind of love this.
Hashtag sad.
Yeah. I love this. Some CEOs stage elaborate parties and celebrate important company milestones. Not Reed Hastings. The Netflix chief celebrated his company reaching 100 million subscribers with a steak dinner all by himself at Denny's. He shared the news Friday afternoon in a Facebook post that shows a photo of him engaging in what appears to be a tradition. And he wrote, celebrating 100 million members the same way I did at 1 million, reads the caption, a steak alone at Denny's. He's superstitious, he says, in the hashtag. The streaming giant announced Monday during its first quarter earnings call with investors that it was close to surpassing the milestone. Some Wall Street analysts had been expecting the company to hit 100 million during the first quarter, but it came up a little short with 98.7 million. That's a lot. That's a lot of subscribers, you guys. Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's one third of all Americans, if you add it all up. I know that's spread all over the world, but still that is a ton of freaking people. Currently, the majority of its members are in the United States, though a recent push to new international markets has significantly boosted their subscriber base overseas. Co-founded by Hastings in 1997 as a DVD by mail business, Netflix has made the move to streaming in the mid-2000s and become a juggernaut through its library of original and licensed programming.
And I don't know. Eating a steak alone at Denny's feels like something you do after you drop the kids back off at your ex-wife's house.
Totally, but if he truly is superstitious, I could see it, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's a... Sure, I guess, if it's superstition, but still, it seems like...
Because if he did it at 1 million and felt like that was something to do with that... Well, first of all, I'm not superstitious.
But it's not like it was the cause and effect. You did it after you reached a milestone. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, if I do this again, then I'll reach the milestone. He reached the milestone. He reached 100 million.
Maybe his thinking is, if I don't do it, I won't reach the next milestone.
1 billion.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then he'll have... Like, what if he went and had, what if he ate dinner at a village inn with three friends? Would that blow the whole deal and he would lose all his subscribers?
Right. Like, and maybe didn't get a steak, but got the Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity. Yes, yeah. I know that's International Rudy. House of Pancakes or someplace. I don't know where it is. But.
Dude, pancakes have been brought up three times today, and I want pancakes so bad. That sounds so good. Oh my gosh, it sounds good right now. I don't even know why. Or waffle. I'll take waffles. It's fine.
Sure.
Whatever. Syrup is what I really want. Syrup on bread material. Anyway, there's your news. We're going to take a break when we come back. Steven Schleicher will be with us. Got some stuff to talk about in the world. We'll do that here in a minute. Brian, would you please play us some sort of independent track?
I will, but let me throw an idea out to you.
Go.
And out to the executives if they're listening. Root beer float Oreos. So the cookie is vanilla. It's a vanilla cookie. And then the cream filling is root beer flavor.
This is terrible. Terrible idea. That sounds so bad.
We will see this in my lifetime. I'll put money on it.
Have you checked to see if it exists? It might already exist.
Might already exist.
Beer float Oreo. Oh, there's a search for it already. Okay.
Amazon, oh, really?
Like Nabisco already... Oreo cookies root beer float. It exists.
Already exists. Jeez. Well, there we go. See?
All right. Well, we know what Mary needs to get us next time.
No kidding. There you go.
Hop in there and grab a set of those.
When did 2014? How do we not get these?
I don't know. Because they're gross. That's why. Because they're gross. Because it's a sick idea by sick people.
All right.
Anyway. Oh, let's check the voting before we do the song. Voting is now at 76.84 to 23.16. Looks like we're settling into our pattern. So
25% right there. Yeah. All right, cool. Okay, let's get to Indie in the Middle here. Today is Denver, a guy from Denver, actually a band from Denver. Steve Law has been, building up like a pressure valve, like a steam vent that's sealed, building up all this music. And now he's opened up the valve and all this music is just pouring out. He's been playing guitar and cello lessons been playing the cello for years. And he's kind of always wanted to put together a band, says that is in his biography. This is Steve Law Band, local Denver band, Steve Law Band. Does it say who? I don't know who is on vocals on this one. It doesn't say in the bio, but bassist, guitarist, singer, engineer Kyle Zender, vocalist and percussionist Toddy Ivey and Hill Baker on the drum kit. There's a different vocalist on this one. I don't know who she is. But here is the Steve Law Band from their album Dancer. It is the title track.
Did you ever stop and wonder? Did you ever think at all? Did you know it'd take you under? It was the rise before the fall. There are some who say you really had it coming. You never read the writing. You're running, so please pick up the phone, answer the call.
Able to read some of my favorite cooking magazines online. I've even gotten some great gardening tips too.
No wonder you guys are always so busy on the computer.
I don't make jokes.
This is the morning stream. Exercising demons since 2 and...
Hahaha.
quarterback. Well done, Fletcher. I like that a lot. That was good.
Yeah.
Some good independent music in the middle, I believe.
Absolutely. Steve Law Band. Check him out online.
Yes. Look at you doing the call. I like you did a little callback at the end. You remind people what the name was in case they didn't
Yeah, because if you don't do a back announce, people are like, who is that again? I really like that. But I, you know, we move on to the next thing and we sometimes miss it. Also, I'll try and be a lot better about tweeting these out. So if you follow me at Coverville on Twitter, then you'll see links to where you can listen to more. Yeah. I've linked to the Steve Law Band SoundCloud page if
that's
you want to find
that's
out.
That's a great idea. All right.
Yeah.
Well, good
yeah.
stuff. On the line with us now is Stephen Schleicher himself. Hello, Stephen.
Good morning.
Hey, listen, before we get into all this major spoileries and all the things we want to talk about, which are aplenty, your take on the American pastime of putting ice cream in root beer.
I'm okay with it. Mm. I'm not a big dessert person, so it's rare that I do that now. Yeah. But yeah, it was a thing when I was a kid.
Okay. So today, if somebody offered you one at a dinner, let's say at the end of some sort of weenie roast or, you know, burger thing, barbecue,
yeah.
You'd say, sure, hand me one.
Sure, yeah, let me have one. I'll go for that. I'll be part of that 70%.
Damn it. All right.
Well, sorry. Now, no. My wife. Now, here's something really weird that'll probably totally gross you out.
Yeah.
The local brewery and restaurant here in town, Gela's, they make, or at least at one time, made a root beer float Jell-O.
Mm.
So it's Jell-O, but when you eat it, it tastes just like a root beer float.
That's also
so
weird.
So the Jell-O part is root beer float flavored, and then they're what, like little vanilla marshmallows or something?
Yeah, they put little whipping cream or something on top of it. I refused to eat it because I thought that looked disgusting.
Yeah, I don't want that.
They also make a very interesting corn ice cream.
But hold on.
Really?
Yes.
Explain that to me. How does that work?
I don't know how it works, but it comes out. You can see that it has little bits of corn still in it.
So,
but they make the ice cream and the corn is an additive and it tastes really good, surprisingly.
Okay. I don't know if I believe it. I think that sounds horrifying to me.
Yeah.
Is it the sweet?
I'd try it for sure.
It's very sweet. Hmm. It tastes almost like a caramel popcorn.
I mean, I guess most, you know, corn syrup is in everything, so it's not like you're not already getting kind of a corn derivative anyway, but that's really weird. I don't think I can eat that.
No, it comes in vanilla. It's not chocolate flavored for those people in the tadpool that are wondering.
Any of you guys in Vegas been to, Brian, have you been to that donut place? What's it called? It's right there off Fremont. It's in the Art District. It's called Something Donuts.
I don't think I've been to any donut shops in...
You gotta go there next time.
Really?
I've never had a better gourmet donut in my life. And every day the menu's different. The only thing they make every day are these... what's that thing you get in the restaurant where it's like on fire for a second and creates a hard crust on top?
Heartburn? Creme brulee?
Creme brulee. They have a creme brulee donut that is... I can't even believe it. I put that thing in my mouth and I thought I'd gone to heaven and back. It was so good.
If they bring your creme brulee and it's still flaming, they're doing something wrong because they're just supposed to use like a little butane torch on those.
Oh, that's a good point, yeah. They sometimes will do
totally
the torch.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
They'll sometimes do the torch at the table, depending on where you go. But you're right. They don't.
Oh,
if that's,
right. Yeah, that's true.
If it's on fire, there's something wrong. You don't want
you
that.
You guys have baked Hertz Alaska donuts in your area.
We don't have Hertz, but I hear Hertz is good.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Hertz donut.
Yeah. Do you have to, donut. Yeah. Do you rent it for a day and have to do insurance on it, or how does a Hertz donut work?
Come on, that's not a real place. That's
it
just
is a real place.
Tell
There's
you
one
before
in Wichita.
They hit
they're a chain, a growing chain.
It really
they
is.
They do have. They literally have a Homer Simpson donut that looks like the donut that Homer always eats.
Yeah.
But they have all sorts of really delicious donuts. If you can find one, check them out. Some people say they're overrated, but if we go to Wichita, we will always grab one.
So it's a real thing, Hertz donut.
Hertz donut is a real thing.
I thought it was a joke too. I thought that
no, that's what I when my wife first told me about it, I was like, ah, ha, very funny. Uh-huh.
Yeah, no kidding. So they have a Homer at this place too. They call it the Homer, and it's huge, big pink donut with all this stuff on it. And we brought it home, and the kids devoured it and never got to taste it. So anyway, I forgot the name of it. Damn it, it's some donut place. Chat room, you guys know? It's like something donuts, amazinggreatdonut.com. I don't remember something. Anyway, it's good to have you here, Stephen. Of course, Major Spoiler Zone, Stephen Schleicher comes on the show. We talk about pop culture, comics, movies, all kinds
donuts.
Of cool stuff. And
donuts,
let's talk let's talk about how... Oh, by the way, it is Mario Kart week because that comes in this week.
Yes, it does.
Oh, yeah.
I think I get mine tomorrow. Is it tomorrow?
It comes out on the 28th officially, so I don't know if they release it to some people early or not.
That's Friday, right?
28th?
Yeah, it's Friday.
Okay. Yeah, Nintendo's like a Friday release.
Which is good. That means I've got 4 more days to get as much done in Zelda as I want before I never play it again.
Before you swap the carts out and it's too much of a pain to push another cart in there? That's how
it is. Oh, it's just like, you know, I get focused on one and I don't go back to old games because something new comes out by the time I'm done with the next one.
I'm weird in that I sometimes dip back in strange ways. Like I'm playing GTA 5 again.
Well, yeah, you're doing
like,
Grand Theft Auto.
Like a weirdo. I have plenty of games to play. They're all new, and I'm playing Grand Theft Auto 5 for no reason. It's stupid.
Weirdo.
Anyway.
Such a weirdo.
Speaking of weirdos, Target filled their stores with Mario Kart-themed shopping carts.
Yeah, not only that. I mean, if you go in, you know they have those big concrete red balls in front, which are the car barriers.
Yeah.
They've actually decked those out to look like Mario and Luigi.
Oh, my gosh.
And then as you are going through the front door, it's like you're starting the race where it has the ding, ding,
yes,
ding, go.
So
and then the door's
cool.
Opening and you hear Mario go,
yeah, look at that.
So freaking awesome.
Yeah. So are those things out front, they're just some kind of wraparound, right?
They yeah, it's just them. a zippered thing that goes on there. It's really cool. We ran into them this weekend when we were at a Target, and I was like, oh, this is so cool. And then it turns out it's a national thing, and although the weird thing was when we did go into the store, we only saw one Mario Kart, one shopping cart decked out as Mario. Mm-hmm. And the other two, Luigi's and Princess Peach's, were not there. And I thought they would do it to all the carts, but it looked like they were doing only a few, unless they're adding more as the week goes on. Mm-hmm. But if you get a chance just to go through the doorway, the entrance of Target, it's very entertaining and will bring a chuckle to your
aren't they
your
just
face.
Asking for trouble? Like, aren't they asking for people to like start racing these things around the store and crashing into each other and flush turtles at each other?
Yeah, and if it's a super Target, you get some banana
peels.
Oh,
yeah, some bananas, some other things. Oh, my yeah, 5-year right. old just thought it was the funniest thing. Yeah. And as we walked through the store, he was just racing ahead, going, "You can't beat me, you can't beat me."
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, here comes the big blue turtle shell. And
yeah. For sure.
I'm gonna say we can begin the countdown to some jackanape on YouTube who's gonna post video of him and his friends being obnoxious in a Target and racing these things through and hucking plush turtles at each other.
My money is it already exists somewhere. Someone has done it.
I'm sure there was a mother that was wheeling her kid in one of those carts, and he was sitting in the cart acting like he was driving and screaming and having fun with it.
Yeah,
so
that'll be, I mean, T-minus no time before that shows up on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, and that may be why the carts are not every cart, and they're only doing a few in the store.
Yeah, and you, right. And you, I mean, where are you at with a Mario Kart? Is this a thing you want to get?
Yeah, in fact, I bought my son a Switch this weekend, finally found one. Mm-hmm. And I was hoping to get the Mario Kart one because I know that he likes that. Mm-hmm. And they were like, no, sorry, it didn't come out on Friday. So I was like, oh, great. Now I got to go back on Friday. So,
oh, all right. So you're
yeah, that's the Zelda game were the two that I grabbed or want to grab. So
you should have. It's great. That's why, by the way, that's the reason Zelda right now is selling more than 1-to-1. It's selling, mm-hmm. selling like 1.1 with Switches. And it's not, they're not counting the Wii U versions. The reason it's happening is Switches are so hard to get that when people get to the store to pick them up, they're like, well, I'm going to grab Zelda while I'm here because I know I'm going to want to play that. And then they go home with a copy of Zelda and no machine to play it on.
Mm-hmm.
And you end up with the very rare case where a game for a system is selling more copies of the game than we are selling of the system. It's just nuts. That's good, though. Good for Nintendo. They got stuff going on. Oh, and if you're at a Best Buy today, they're supposed to have new classics, NESs out today. Like the last shipment of Best Buy NES Classics will be available. So they're probably already gone.
Yeah. They're already gone by now. If you didn't get there at 8:00 in the morning, get in line and get the little voucher, then you're SOL.
Yeah. Screw you, Nintendo. I'll wait for your next one, you buttholes, or I'll get my own emulator.
Exactly. Yes. Name it up, baby.
Yep. Name it up. Well, not maim, but something. Yes. all right. Steven, what's going on with Lock and Key? One of my favorite comic graphic novels of all time, the Joe Hill epic that mm-hmm. should have been made into movies and TV and millions of things by now, but hasn't. What's going on with that? We have some news.
Well, they've actually tried to make it into movies and TV multiple times. Fox did it like 7 years ago or something like that. And they did a pilot for it and then they weren't happy with it. So they didn't proceed with it. And then I think Universal tried to have movie rights like 2 or 3 years ago, and they never did anything with it. And so I guess bidding is back open again, and Hulu has obtained the rights to the popular Lock and Key series by, like you said, Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez. And they've got a pilot commitment for it that will probably come out probably late this year, early next year, and hopefully it's good enough that we will actually be able to see it, and it will actually go to series. Now, for those of you that don't know what Lock and Key is, it is a story about the Key House. It is a house that the Locke family, it's an ancestral home, and when they go there, the youngest children, the three children, discover these keys that can do all sorts of magical things, like the mind key can unlock, literally unlock your brain so you can look inside and take out things that disturb you or are troubling you, or you can put knowledge in. Mm-hmm. They've got a ghost key, they've got a giant key, I mean, they've got all sorts of keys, a key for anything that you can imagine. And it's such a fantastical story. Also very horrific. So if people who are like, oh, I'll grab this for my 10-year-old. That sounds good. No, there are people that literally are slaughtered on the first pages of the book. Yeah. If you go and pick up the first volume. And it just gets darker from there.
There's a gnarly serial killer sub-story that is really well done, but also real gnarly. So
Yeah. And like I said, it gets darker from there. It's got multiple volumes. It ran for years over at IDW Publishing. You can still pick these up. I highly recommend it if you are a fan of Joe Hill or a Stephen King-esque type stories. This is really, really good stuff, and I'm excited to see it go to Hulu and hope that we get a series out of this.
Yeah, Hulu's got some good original programming stuff lately, and they've got that, what's that dystopic future where all the women are kept in a place where they have to just...
Oh, The Handmaid's Tale?
Handmaiden's Tale's coming there with a big, really impressive cast actors, and then they got that Path show, which is great. Love Path, The Path. And I like...
They have a Hulu original, which is Dimension 404, which is done by the Rocket Jump guys.
Yeah. How is
that? It's really good. I've watched the first three episodes, and they're fantastic.
Yeah. Was it, who recommended it? Was it you or Nicole?
I did.
Oh, you did. And you liked it, right?
I did like it. It was like, it's Dark Mirror light.
All right.
It's not as heavy as Dark Mirror, but it's, fun. It's that same vein. It's like,
Twilight Zone meets Amazing Stories.
Or Black Mirror. I keep saying Dark Mirror. If Black Mirror is the Twilight Zone, Dimension 404 is Tales from the Dark Side.
No, that's awesome. He, by the way, Wong, forget the which Wong it is.
Freddie
Wong's Wong. from Provo. Udaw Connection. What else? DC Comics introduces Dark Matter. Ooh, this is a thing. This is a Scott Snyder deal, right?
Well, it's kind of a whole DC kind of deal. Over the weekend, C2E2 took place at Chicago Big Convention, one of the bigger ones that kick off the season. And the day before, DC had a big event where they introduced Dark Matter. Now, part of Dark Matter is the Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo, Batman Heavy Metal or Dark Knight's Metal series that's coming out. But it's also part of a bigger initiative from Dan DiDio and the rest of the people at DC to really start highlighting great stories and great writers and great artists together, which is something that often doesn't get pushed. When you talk about comic books, a lot of people will talk about the writer of this, and they rarely talk about the artist. This is an attempt to say, hey, the artist and writer are super important together. And in this new series, and there's a bunch of different books in this series, they're going to pair hot artists and hot writers together, and they're going to collaborate on something that should be really good. It looks like most of the stuff kicks off in September, and it looks very interesting from some of the titles that are out there. It's not like your typical Superman, Batman type stuff, although Batman is the Dark Knight storyline, but you have the Immortal Men, you have Damage, you have the new Challengers, you have Sideways and Silencer. So it should be really fascinating to see what they do on this. Now, the reason why it may be getting a little bit more attention than normal is because just recently, one of the marketing people at Marvel had kind of made a faux pas by saying that artists don't move the needle. And so that has had a lot of backlash because there are some really well-known artists that actually do move the needle, that actually get people excited about books. And so I think some people are looking at this as DC capitalizing on that, but DC has been, especially Dan DiDio, has been a big fan of putting the artist right alongside as an integral part of comic book creation as the writer. And so this is just him finally getting a chance to put it all together into one big event.
Yeah, I'm going to say this out loud because I believe it with all my heart. The statement that artists don't move the needle in the comics industry is the stupidest freaking thing I've ever heard in my life. Like, that isn't to say that writers don't do it equally. Of course they do. But it's that collaboration that matters. And then sometimes people like Alex Ross or Scott Campbell or the Kuberts or any of these people, they change the entire genre sometimes. And like,
oh, yeah.
McFarlane was not known for his writing. He was known for his incredible Spider-Man run of art. It wasn't about the stories. It was about this incredible dynamic new way of creating page-by-page action. That if that didn't move the needle, I don't know what does. So I hate that statement. It's the worst. And I,
yeah,
and
he got a lot of flack from it, and it caused a bit of controversy across the comic book industry a couple of weeks ago.
Well, he's objectively wrong, which is kind of nice in a day where everything seems to be subjective. All right, well, there you go. Lots of good stuff happening out there, and all of it reported on by Steven over at MajorSpoilers.com and his crack team. Steven, anything else going on you'd like to mention?
No, not this week. Go check out some of the shows that we produce. If you like comic books and want to get into comic books, a really new comic book friendly show that we do is the Major Spoilers Podcast, where we talk about what's going on in the industry, review a few comics, and then make some trade recommendations, where we'll read some trade paperbacks and tell you whether they're worth picking up or not. So that's the Major Spoilers Podcast.
Yeah, check it out. MajorSpoilers.com, everybody. Major Spoilers on Twitter. Steven, take it easy. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
See ya.
9 weeks till Nerdtacular, Brian.
Oh, dude. Okay.
9 weeks.
Thanks for that reminder.
9 weeks, everybody.
We better figure out what our movie is going to be, too, for
films. Yeah, I also need to decide if we're going to try to do anything weird with that. Like, there's some talk about maybe, I know Randy didn't seem to love the idea, but, you know, maybe some additional people up there.
Oh, right, yeah.
Maybe we turn it into more than just a show being recorded live. I don't know. There's talk, but either way, we got to have a movie. We got to come up with something. I don't know what it is yet. I think we may have, well, whatever. I don't want to say it out loud because maybe it'll give it away. But whatever, people, we'll let you know, okay? We'll have an idea when we get there. 9 weeks. We got plenty of time.
So, Wicked Kitten 13, and I know Dodd Vickers would love this idea. Maybe we save the last dragon for for Nerdtacular.
That would work.
It's not streaming, though, is the problem. At least, you know, we've given away about 1,000 copies here on
that's true, but neither was the
Punisher,
and there was one other one. Oh no, there were two others, Tremors and also He-Man. None of those were streaming.
Yeah.
So we might get away with it. Who knows?
That's a thought. All right. Let's
I think even at the time Star Trek 3 wasn't streaming. So we did a lot of picking and choosing
maybe that's the deal.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's get out of here. Oh, before we do the film festival, we should probably remind people.
Oh, yeah, because I think time is up tomorrow.
Yeah.
Do we say tomorrow? Because, yeah, we need a couple days, and then we announce the winner on Thursday.
Right.
Right, the TMS Film Fest in its waning days. So if you have not recorded it yet, do it ASAP. The subject, again, is gifts, the worst gift and or the best gift. So, you know, you could do it as like, here's me giving somebody the most horrible gift I can think of that on the surface doesn't seem like a horrible gift. Like giving your friends who have a new baby or new toddler, giving them a drum set. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a horrible gift.
It's a horrible, horrible gift. Or horrible. Yes. Yeah.
Horrible. It's a horrible gift. Things like that. But, you know, you can be funny about it, of course.
Yep.
Get us your email, your videos. Attach them to a link. Go ahead and post them over there at tinyurl.com/TMSFilmFest.
Yeah, or frogpants.com/TMSFilmFest.
Oh, right. That's right. I forgot. We've actually got a dedicated page for it now. Yep. So, yeah.
Yeah, head on over there. All the stuff is there, including some old ones, new ones, whatever. I don't think I've put anything up other than our January submissions, so I'm a little behind. But I'll update those.
You heard it here first, folks. Scott's got a little behind.
I got a little behind. I actually do. It's very small and flat. It's lame. I have a dumb butt. It's a thing in my family. My dad had no butt.
I make up for it.
Yeah. You listen. You're
I've got butt for days.
You can be my butt anytime, Brian. That's going to do it, everybody. Thanks for being here. Patreon.com/TMS is where you can support us monetarily. And if you don't, we're screwed. This show doesn't exist without it. So thank you so much for those who do. And if you haven't considered it, go over there and see what the different levels are. Even if it was like $1 a month for, 16 shows a month? It's insane. It's a ridiculous amount of value for very little money. Patreon.com/TMS. We are primarily supported by users, and they're just like you. So go do it. That's it. Frogpants.com/TMS is where you can find all our other contact details, everything you need to know, link to, and find right there. Brian?
Yes.
Take us out with a song, would you please?
All right. We had a request come in from Derek in Canada says, hello, dynamic duo. This can be any time before or after April 22nd, since it's a Saturday this year. On April 22nd, my wife and I will be celebrating our 11th wedding anniversary. Somehow, I lucked out to have a wife who is amazingly awesome, nerdy, and as much of a geek as I am. We enjoy fun music and, as always, get a laugh out of the cheesy love songs. So play us a fun and cheesy love song. By the time this airs, the Edmonton Oilers will be partway through their first playoff run in 11 years. Last time, in 2006, the year we got married, we almost won the Stanley Cup. Go Oilers, go! Thanks to both of you for all the amazing work you do. Thankfully, my wife can clearly see why I like the show. Mm. I can see why you like it, Derek in Canada.
All right.
Fantastic. So we had a little last minute switch up of songs, but this one still applies to a cheesy love song. There is a great compilation CD out there called Drink a Toast to Innocence, a tribute to light rock. And it's basically every light rock 70s AM staple that you can think of, from Ambrosia to Hall & Oates to, you know, all those things that came out right around that time. And on there is this cover of I'd Really Love to See You Tonight by Kelly Jones. Now, this is not the Kelly Jones who is the lead vocalist of the Stereophonics. It's not the Kelly Jones who is the ex-wife of Alex Jones. Mm. Who's having the custody battle. Mm. This is a totally different Kelly Jones, but a beautiful voiced Kelly Jones nonetheless. The compilation, by the way, came out in 2013. Really, really good CD. Definitely worth picking up. Here is, originally by England Dan and John Ford Coley, it's I'd Really Love to See You Tonight by Kelly Jones.
Hello, yeah, it's been a while. Not much, how about you? I'm not sure why I called. I guess I really just wanted to talk to you. I was thinking maybe later on we could get together for a while. It's been such a long time, and I really do miss your smile. Oh, I'm not talking about moving in, and I don't want to change your life, but there's a warm so you won't have to lie. to change your life. But there's a warm wind blowing the stars around, and I'd really love to see you tonight. Yeah, I'd really love to see you
is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
I'm Chris, and I lost 120 pounds.